As many of you know, these last few weeks, we've been talking about Jesus' parables that are from this section of Matthew's gospel. And as we hear those parables, and we mentioned this before too, we can listen to them in our own time, in our own context, and say, I don't know what that parable is all about. I don't know what's it trying to teach us. So for example, you know, in that gospel today, when Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a hidden treasure in a field and goes and sells all he has so he can get that field and have that treasure. Okay, how does that translate to today? For starters, to understand, because when we hear heaven, we think legitimately of, well, heaven, that's the afterlife. That's hopefully when we die and go to be with Jesus. In Jesus' time, certainly that's one dimension, obviously. But in Jesus' time, remember, even in the Lord's Prayer, he says, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And recognizing that, that kingdom, that God wants that kingdom of heaven to be on earth. In other words, to live in this life as we hope to be in heaven. To live in this life following the values that Jesus calls us to hold dear, because they're what makes life's greatest treasure. So we know, hey, following that, Jesus, God sending Jesus, and this kingdom, and our being a part of making it happen over history, is a kingdom that is meant, first of all, to say God is the ultimate king, or our language would be better, the ultimate influence in our lives. That we're really open to that. And that ultimate influence in our lives is meant to influence our relationships, influence our work, our activities, what we do, how and why we do it. And hopefully it does. And when we say that's the greatest treasure, it is. If we would live in the way God calls us to, Jesus showed us, with that kind of joy and goodness and caring for one another and living with peace and justice and great unconditional love, could there be any greater treasure than that? To have in our family, when we raise children, to know that love. To have in our neighborhood, to have in our city, in our world, that kind of kingdom on earth of God's reigning over us in a beautiful way, making a loving difference in us and through us for the sake of others. And as we look at that, another aspect, going back to that first reading listening to what Solomon wanted from God, he wanted an understanding heart. That's another dimension of this reality that of the kingdom on earth, that in some way, if we live following God's fundamental influence, we will seek to better understand one another, to better understand ourselves. And in our world today, isn't it a reality that is so deeply needed? We all can look at, yeah, how understanding am I as a person? Even in family life, sometimes we can get into difficulties and be resentful against each other. And maybe it's we need to take more time to just understand, how are you seeing this? How am I seeing this? Rather than just going to our corners of the house and not coming together. We know that's in our culture. Today, more than ever, there's a lot of differences. And there can be differences. Obviously, God made us unique, and we each have something to bring. There can be differences, differences in how we look at political issues, religious issues, issues in the culture today, and so much of that. But we know too often those differences divide us. Too often those differences cause us to be hostile toward one another, cause us to say, I don't want to be around you because you don't think like I do. You don't make decisions like I do. And we can distance ourselves from one another. And as you heard me say, that attitude can be one of maybe unconscious. Hey, I see it the right way. Obviously, you see it the wrong way. I'm rightly motivated. You're wrongly motivated. And we can come at that. And then how do we even come together? And we know God's vision for his kingdom, his vision for the human family, is with all our differences, not to be divided, not to be hostile to one another, but come together to seek to understand each other and recognize those differences looked at well, and seeing the best of each of them can enrich us and can help us to be the community God calls us to be from the very beginning. And when we talk about that misunderstanding that happens, family life in our nation, our world, that there's even some more examples of that. There's many examples in our history, but a couple of them were examples of not understanding each other in the whole issue of race, and not understanding each other in the whole issue of sexual orientation. And you can see that there's legitimate things people are looking at around the country trying to understand those issues. There can be differences of opinion. However, some of what's going on around underneath it, there can be a hostility, a hatred, a prejudice. That's not right. That's not of God. And so whatever we do, that kingdom of God that God wants us to have is a kingdom that calls us to see we are all part of one human family, called to look out for one another, called even with our differences to better understand one another, not distance ourselves or become hostile toward one another. I know over these weeks we've talked about the racial issue, and as you already know, that every first Saturday of the month, that this coming first Saturday, we have a conversation, black and white, people coming together, and it's beautiful, again, in a mutual understanding, getting to know each other's story and come from that point of view. Also, on the second weekend of the month, Saturday, we've mentioned this before, there's a group that comes together with people from different sexual orientation and obviously from the life that maybe most of us are oriented to, but recognizing there's other people who are drawn in another way. And again, we've had times for people to have conversation and better understand one another, what's going on in people's lives, especially people maybe hurting or feeling put down in any kind of way. And here, I just want to use one example. This example, there was a woman, actually I met her, she was in her mid-20s, up outside of Cleveland. I'm also involved in a committee the bishop has made to see how we can, as a church, come together in greater love to people who feel marginalized because of sexual orientation. After all, the greatest virtue of all, first of all, is to love. And so this woman, she knew I was on this committee, and she talked to me, and she said, "Can I sit down and have a conversation with you?" I saw her at some community gathering in Cleveland. And I said, "Sure." And she thanked me for the work I and other people were doing to try to foster a loving care. And so she went on to say, "Can I share my story with you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "That's what we do in these groups. We share our story. Hearing each other's story helps us to better understand each other and who we are and how we are today and how we look at things and make decisions." And she went on to say that, in her language, she said, "Well, I'm a gay woman, and I've known that for years." And she said, "You know, I hear in the culture and in the whole political discussion, they're saying even in high school, you shouldn't bring that up." And she mentioned, "You know, I went to a Catholic high school and we did bring it up. We talked about it because people, we were already aware. And again, we talked in an understanding of there could be differences, maybe even different opinions on this topic, but how do we better understand, come together and love one another?" And she said, "I was so happy in my Catholic high school that happened." And then she went on to say, again, the rest of her life, she, in college she went, and then she said, "You know, some of my friends, not all of them, in high school, I was able to be open with, and they were so caring and understanding, and that meant a lot." And she said, "But one thing," that she said, "all these years till recently, my parents did not know my orientation." And she said, "I was fearful." She said, "I also didn't want to hurt them. I felt they probably wouldn't understand." And so I went back and forth about saying something. But she was sharing with me that over the last few months, partly, and I'm going to read one little note from the Pope here that she had read, but coming to say, "Hey, my parents are conscientious Catholics. They're good. I know they love the Lord." You know, that's opened her up to a point of, you know what? I think I'm going to risk it. And it was a risk. And risk it and share with them. And she did. And it was interesting to hear what happened. I asked her that. She said, "Well, you know, I braced myself. Because I understood, it was wonderful. She wanted her parents to understand her, but she had a beautiful insight that of her trying to better understand her parents when they heard this and the struggle they may have, the confusion, a lot of questions. And she thought to herself, before I tell them this, I want to be braced to say, hey, not to see if they're saying anything. It's not out of hate. It's out of confusion. It's out of concern for me. So she came with that attitude. We all, especially in hard conversations, if we come with that attitude, hey, how can we seek to see how you look at this and how I look at this and really talk heart to heart? And so anyway, she said she was bracing herself. And I said, what happened? And she said, well, she said, I was surprised. She said, my dad especially. She said, I was an only child. He used to always say, oh, someday I look forward to you getting married and walking down the aisle with you and having grandchildren. And so this woman thinking, oh, wow, this is going to be so hard for my dad to take and hurtful. But what she said, she told him, she got it out hesitantly, talked mom and dad there. And she said her dad responded very differently than she thought. And her dad basically was saying that, hey, he'd been reading things that Pope Francis had said some positive things. There's other people talking out that he even knew other parents of somebody who were gay. And so when she told him, he was more ready to say, hey, I get it. Am I comfortable with this? No, maybe I need to learn to be more comfortable. But he told her, and this meant so much to her, she was in tears telling me her story, that her dad said, hey, I love you. I've always loved you. This is a part of who you are, not the whole of who you are. And I still love you because that's what it means to be a parent. I love you no matter what. Please know that. And help me to understand. This is new for me with my background, but help me to understand because I want us to be close. I don't want us to be distant because of some difference. And she shared that with me, and she was so grateful in that situation and talking about that. And I bring that up because, again, for all of us, whoever we are, and especially people who might be our minority for any reason, we all want to believe we can share who we are, and somebody else will understand us and care for us and not distance themselves and not negate us. Maybe have differences of opinion on some things, that can be there, but never that creating an absence of love. So we take a moment today, we have a baptism beautifully. You know, everyone was baptized into a family where family life is certainly, even with our differences, and we've all had them, we probably all got stories, how do we love each other through it? How do we love each other through it? Because the most important virtue that Jesus called us to is love. So we take a quiet moment. Is there any way we need to be more understanding of others? And God, help us to do that in a loving way. Quiet moment. God bless you.